I am ready.
Are we running?
We're rolling.
Very good. Start us off.
Everyone, thanks for coming out to What the F is Wrong With
What
You.
What the fuck is wrong with all of you
the
for
name,
showing up? What
yeah,
the fuck
name,
is wrong with you?
Came from Sean because there's nothing else in the podcast realm that starts with WTF.
That's
we're not,
right.
We're not competing with anything SEO-wise here. Gold, baby. Gold.
You know, I've worked in marketing and advertising for 25 years. If that isn't the sine qua non of
can we do
experience.
Something like Joseph Rogan show, something
right.
like that? I don't know. So we're here for everyone to spill their guts in the audience and share, like, what the fuck is wrong with
what
them.
The fuck is wrong with
like,
you?
Let us know what is wrong. I have tons of things wrong with me right now, biological.
Well, why don't we start, as we normally do, with a challenge or problem that you have. And
okay.
That could set the tone. And then we can open the floor up to questions that the audience might have.
Okay, let's do that.
Cool, cool.
Here's my saga. Last February.
Okay, questions from the audience.
Yeah, last February, I did a job at a real estate agency, the Sampson Real Estate Agency in Chantilly,
Virginia. So your locksmith company is called what?
Hercules Safe and Lock.
So Hercules is helping out Samson.
Yes.
We don't have enough mythological heroes.
And as I use this podcast to call for a brigading to tank the ratings of one of these companies in about 30 seconds, remember it's Samson Realty, helmed by Casey Samson, that we're going to motherfuck. John Papa Giorgio's Hercules Safe and Lock, we're going to write nothing but platitudes.
You
about.
Seem very. Are you hot in that?
Not in the least.
Just want to make sure.
I'm just sweating because I have diarrhea. But you know what? That got sorted out. If I leave, that's why, though.
I was
waiting for banter.
Okay. So what was the issue you have?
So I did.
And this
job.
Is going to be like 5-10 minutes tops because we got tons of people here.
Oh,
all these people are here. Let's listen to them. Listen to them make some
nice.
Noise. Very good.
The goddamn Mouskowitz family could make more volume than that, but we'll take it. Thank you for coming out.
Everyone's at the Caps game.
Yeah,
that's right.
God damn it. Okay, you know what? That is true. We are up against Caps Game 7, roughly 6 blocks from here.
Right.
So, big overlap, by the way, the hockey and the improv
in the podcast.
Just
huge
a perfect circle.
Venn diagram.
Venn diagram.
Right.
There's a midget show at the local strip
club. Fuck yeah, there is.
That.
Fuck yeah, there is.
I do a job. I'm presented with a certain key, a specific high security key that necessitates.
Is this an actual key or one of those electronic keys?
No, this is an actual key, like the old Asian guy in the Matrix had a million of at the end of that second Matrix film. The lock key guy, whatever the hell his name was.
Got it.
So I am handed this specific key. They say put in a lever that works on this key. Well, this key is going to need a special cylinder. It's going to need a special lock.
You're talking a lot of locksmith jargon.
It's all good. It's all
good.
It's
all jargon
here.
This
shit's expensive.
Okay.
Did I break it down for you?
Right.
You pleb. So I get these specific things, and I don't even charge that much. The entire affair is like $470.
Mm-hmm.
I get the check. I get a call from the man who was too busy to oversee any of this, but can be a real see you next Tuesday about what he gets charged. Casey Samson, the coward and possible cuckold. Casey Samson. So Casey Samson.
Wait. Possible cuckold?
Definite cuckold.
Okay,
I just didn't want to get sued. Definite
right.
cuckold.
Right.
Casey Samson. What's that?
Was it you?
That cuckolded him? Yes. I have made love to Mrs. Samson many times. Casey Samson, like a bird that has been duped, is now raising my babies. So Casey calls, and Casey tries to huff and puff and blow my house. He's bitching. He's like, $470 for a lock, as if he knows anything. Like you explained, this is all very technical.
Right.
Like, if you brought in a BMW for service, that might cost a little bit more.
A
little bit more than bringing in the fucking 88 Miata.
Right.
So he's bitching, and I'm on a site. I just hang up on the guy.
Right.
He calls me immediately back like I spat in the face of David Geffen. Like, I'm starving on the Sunset Strip, and I'm Guns N' Roses in 86. And he's like, Geffen on the phone? Fuck you! And hang up. I fail to cash this check because he's like, look, I know. So he's like, we're going to work this out. You will be paid less. I, for whatever reason, I don't know what, high from banging Casey Sampson's wife, take pity on Casey Sampson.
Wait, wait, that makes you high?
Yeah, I'm literally, I'm so full of endorphins from finishing within Casey Sampson's wife and leaving him another child of mine to raise. That I'm like, you know what, bro? You'll be paying for his college. I'll take $75 off this bill. Well, I'm not the best at housekeeping when it comes to the...
What?
Yeah, I know, I know. Not the best at housekeeping when it comes to taking care of these bills. A year has gone by. Mm-hmm. I suddenly find this check, and I'm like, oh, shit, this whole saga. I email Casey Sampson of Sampson Realty, the known cuckold and coward who raises... three of my children. And yeah, exactly. There's more where that came from. No snip, snip here, Casey. So I get, I email and I'm like, look, I would like this check reissued. We need to get this taken care of. Somehow Casey worms his way into the email chain after it looks like I'm going to get paid. Because people are like, well, why is there a check from 2018, February no less, the month of Valentine's Day and my birthday? Which is why Mrs. Sampson gives me extra good sex in the month of February. So I was real high on that sex. So I eventually, Casey gets into this email chain that was going well. He's like, do not pay. Do not pay.
Wait, that he said it verbatim, like in all caps?
Yeah, all caps. Do not pay. Do not pay. Like it's NAMBLA. Come collecting money. Like, do you know what the NAMBLA stands for? Do not give these people money. And that's where we're at now. I'm talking to see if I should throw it to collections, if I should just say, hey, look, Casey, maybe we can work this out, possibly in your marital bed, which I use to please your wife in ways you are too cowardly to do. Casey Sampson of Sampson Realty, cuckold, coward, and fool.
Well, I it sounds like you've taken care of this problem.
I've certainly taken care of Mrs. Sampson.
So I think we all understand the tone of how this works. If you have any problems or challenges, go ahead and grab
just
a microphone.
Step into the mic.
As soon as your problems, John will rant at you and threaten to sleep with your partner. I will attempt
It's only a threat if you don't do it.
That's right. So is there anybody out there who has any problems or challenges? What the fuck is wrong with you? We will solve your problems. Anyone?
Everyone seems fine. This is great. The show's over. Let's fuck ourselves with the mic, Sean. Good. Great. I'm just so happy you're all happy.
That's right.
Good Lord.
So come on.
Oh, a hand
is cut up as if we're in grade school. We're
not. Yeah, exactly.
Mrs. Johnson's long dead. Grab a mic.
I still see the marker on the sides of your hand from where you made the turkey for Thanksgiving and arts and crafts because we're in kindergarten. Now speak.
What? Okay.
I don't know.
That was a reach. My issue is I have a pretty normal job. I make a very normal, but maybe below average salary for the most part. I have a lot of friends that are contractors and study things of merit and value for the most part. So they make a shit ton of money, I guess is the term for it.
Friends, are they in the same industry and field that you are?
No, they are not. Completely different industry. Like, I'm not bitter about it.
Right.
But I do know they make literally 2 to 3 times more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're less of a human. Yeah. So the math works out.
Okay. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
No, all right. Good.
For sure. My issue is when my more wealthier friends complain about things like, man, I can't afford 2 car payments for my brand new trucks, my home that I own in my name, I don't know if I can afford my vacation to Mexico for 3 times this year, to Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tastefully say, shut the fuck up about how much money you got? I understand. I literally will never relate.
Well, first of all, is one of your friends, Casey Sampson, complaining about all the child payments he's having to make for daycare, bewildered because he's like, I haven't made love to Mrs. Sampson in years.
Is he questioning why all of his kids are very furry at 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Swarthy, I think is the word you're looking for. Swarthy,
Swarthy, yeah.
So your friends are insensitive and rich.
Not insensitive. I think they just have a very big disconnect between like what normal people problems are. Like, oh, you know, I got to make car payments. I got to pay for pharmacy. I got to make like, you know, insurance and yada, yada, yada. Like normal qualms compared to like, oh, I don't know if I can afford my third truck that's brand new off the lot. Like, how do you tastefully say, I will never relate. I'm very annoyed. Please shut the fuck up. I know how much money you make.
I have an opinion on this. Sure. I have an opinion on this.
If they're really wealthy, they wouldn't have parking.
We can take, I think, both sides of this because I am merely a lowly locksmith, and you, of course, have improv riches.
Oh, my God. I'm shitting money right now as we speak.
Pluto himself.
I'm shitting money. Right.
So
well, I think that the only winning move here is not to play. That the only winning move is to not bring it up and hope that your friends, and again, I'm sure that because you are in their circle, that they see you as a valuable, worthy human being, and that maybe they'll sort of come to realize that maybe they are being a bit inconsiderate when it comes to this. By the way, this is the dynamic of Twitter. This is how Twitter operates, right? Someone says, oh my God, I woke up today and blah, 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 and this happened, right? And then people say, what the fuck? Don't you know that 170 people just died in Sri Lanka? Fuck you and your fucking problems. When really that person could have just said, yeah, that person understands having their own challenges.
Oh, for sure. And right. Here's the worst part. All these people earned it. Like, I went to college with them. They worked very hard. They didn't come from money.
Right.
That's the worst part.
Right.
It's like they earned every cent they have by investing their time and mental energy into something that pays,
right.
I guess. But it's kind of the offshoot of... Because, you don't want to be that negative Nelly.
Right, that person.
That's like, ooh, what about? Because I don't want to be that guy either. Like, I know I make far more than anyone in, say, most of the Congo, I would assume.
Right.
But... Hannah, by the way, not to interrupt, Hannah's being modest. These friends are jerks because they have the money to attend those ass-to-ass parties from the end of Requiem for a Dream, and they don't invite you to that.
On that note, do those parties, like intersect with the Eyes Wide Shut party, do you think? Like,
they do. One's on weekdays, and the other is a weekend thing. The Eyes Wide Shut party is more of a commitment. You need the costume. Yes, that's true, yeah. Smells like a locker room.
One's 7 to 10, one's 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
One's Darren Aronofsky, one's Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
All sticky. It's
Are those the names of the girls we're having those nights?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Darren and Stanley.
Okay, that's the worst part. Like, they definitely earned every cent they have, but I think it's also to a point where they are very little bit disconnected between, like, you know, everyone's a little bit broke in college. And then it's the idea of, like, ooh, buddy, I'm going to pay off my 2013 car forever. I'm respectful of your craft and your qualms, but also, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
How do you not sound, like, envious while simultaneously a little bit tasteful?
Well, this was actually answered by an episode of Friends. There was a schism between the six friends.
What?
I believe, yes.
What?
I believe Phoebe, Joey... and Jennifer Aniston's Rachel on the side of the poor. Adam Stanzione over there is tracking with me. I didn't use a name on this podcast. It's all anonymous, just like the Stanley Kubrick sex parties. He holds the camera when I make love to Casey Sampson's wife. So eventually the rich three friends try to buy their way out of it by getting Hootie and the Blowfish tickets for all six. And the poor friends just conveyed, like, look, we don't want you to do that. We just want you to acknowledge that we're kind of poor. And then for the rest of the show, it went unmentioned and they all lived in roughly the same apartments. I banged Casey Sampson's wife. No, okay, real answer? Real answer, just come up with every activity you guys do together and keep it, like, real tater-tot based in terms of the cuisine.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, don't you want to go to Barbados? And you're like, I want, but I can't. And that's it. That's all you can do. Just you be in charge. Right?
I think so.
Yeah, you have to school marmot.
Then it goes into the whole, like, again, the plebeian of it all of, all right, rich friends, where are you at? And then they all wave, and then they go to Barbados, and I'm like, hi, guys, that's great. I'm ginger anyway.
Are they your friends?
Yeah.
They are my friends. That's where I know this is coming from, a place of complete ignorance that's not so much hurtful. It's just, like, they just might not know what normal people deal with.
Right.
A real friend would hire you to be a very rich butler, like the end of Mr. Deeds. Just saying that. You would just be John Turturro at the end of Mr. Deeds.
Do you have friends you'd ask to butler for?
If they were rich enough and they made me a millionaire butler, sure.
I like how your default was you were the butler.
Yeah, of course. No. Yeah, no. You're asking if I'd pay a friend to be a secretary or something like that. It would end horribly.
Oh, okay.
Because they would get complacent. And that's why it's hard to find good help. Am I right, Sean?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Get your poor hands off my fucking mic. Don't steal it.
By the way, a shout out for using the word buttle correctly. That's a great, nice work. Nice
got
work.
I got those vocab points, which aren't currency, so worthless. I'll never see Barbados.
That sounds like a verb you'd find on Adult Friend Finder. I did not think buttle would mean that.
What would the dirty form of buttle be?
I don't know. Buttle dash anal? Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying buttle when you're from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like you're saying the buttle surfers.
You're saying buttle. Gross buttle.
Sean.
What's your question, sir?
First, my question is, do you have any questions you want to lob at the audience? Do you have any problems you want to share?
No, I'm pretty much pretty content and okay. Got no problems going on.
Liar!
It's vicious, horrible lie, but yeah. But it's not, this isn't about me, it's about the audience.
It's about helping the audience. All right, we have someone else coming up to the mic, someone brave enough. Everyone, give anonymous ginger hamster hands.
Yay!
Applause for sharing her problems. Mm-hmm. That's very brave of her. All right. Anonymous 2. Just Guy Fawkes mask over here. What's your problem, sir? What the fuck is wrong with you? As we watch a beer can being slowly passed across the floor.
You would roll like a girl.
Damn.
All right. Stanzione, what you got?
So I've been dabbling in the world of stand up and storytelling.
I'm sorry about that. I'm so sorry.
Podcasting for like a hobby recently. And I elected, and I've done this throughout my life, and my wife thinks it's very strange, but I didn't know any of my grandparents.
Okay.
My dad's parents died before I was born, and I barely met my mom's.
Okay.
So I thought that I was owed creating fake grandparents.
Right.
As a
is this why you've been printed onto Sean?
I was owed the right to make up stories about fake grandparents because I never got to have any.
So wait,
my wife
wait,
thinks
wait,
that's insane.
Wait, wait. So have you done this growing up? Like, were you on the playground saying, "Yeah, my grandpa took me fishing. Yeah, mine took me hunting with a 30-06 or something like that." Were you like that?
Yes. So recent.
My grandpa held the camera while I made love to Casey Sampson's wife.
My grandfather had a devil's threesome with Casey Sampson. And no,
yes, Casey Sampson is limp, sir.
So this is you've been doing this, right?
So when my wife and I first started dating,
right,
I may have been drinking a lot,
right,
but she had made lasagna,
right,
and I told. And I told her that it was better than my grandmother's.
Oh, no.
Because I thought, in my mind, it'd be nice to have, like, an Italian grandmother.
Yeah, it's the most Italian shit. Did you do the kiss her?
Like, oh, this is lasagna. Yeah, so.
She put a ricotta cheese in it. That was a great.
Yeah. And then most recently, I had the stand-up thing I did here,
right.
Trainwreck 2,
right,
which was very fun.
And by here, you mean at the Unified Scene Theater.
At the Unified
Scene. We're currently recording this podcast.
Yes.
My grandfather, Sam Kinison, once practiced this art form. All right.
I made a joke about my grandparents owning an Airbnb and my grandmother watching a guy frolic shirtless that looked like Zac Efron.
Right.
It was probably my worst joke. And my wife was like, "Why did you say that?" And I was like, "I don't know." So should I retire my grandparents from my life? My fake grand, or should I continue?
No, yeah. It's a good joke's a good joke first. Not every joke has to be based in reality, for God's sake. That was cruel. I mean, so you're, but in general, where do you bust them out other than with your wife?
I.
Into Casey's.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's his joke. Let him run with that.
By the way, I just want to specify, this man's wife not made love to me because he can handle those duties. Unlike Casey Sampson, who has been unable to perform since Obama's second term.
What was the question?
John asked, is it just this thing you have with your wife, this dynamic where you bring up your fake grandparents, or do you do it publicly outside of the context of like telling a stand-up comedy joke? Find yourself at like work parties and people bring up their grandparents, do you bring up your grandparents as well?
I find it sociopathic a little bit to bring it up in real life too much.
Really?
Yeah, just a bit. And it was more saving it for comedy or storytelling. Just, you know.
That's fine, I feel.
Yeah, like, we're never on oath when it comes to, well, shit. I mean, you are a storyteller. You've been on a storytelling stage.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that your teacher, your instructor talked about the actual truth versus the narrative truth, right? Which, you know, as I don't want to get too technical, but, you know, there are experiences. In order to tell your story, you had to sort of truncate experiences to make it fit into this pithy little narrative. So I think that's okay. I think, you know, writers, authors, novelists are essentially liars. They're just making up out of whole cloth entire stories.
Bible.
Yeah, like the Bible, right? Right. Just a big, huge, a leather-bound book of lies.
And Sean, by the way, if our person questioning us, word to which I forget eloquently now, if he wanted to learn more about storytelling, where could he do that?
Well, he could do that right here at the Unified Scene Theater. But
what? That
seems a little self-serving in this context. Let's solve his problem first. No, I don't think it's a problem making up shit. Absolutely.
Good.
If you're doing it for performance, what the hell?
Nope. Yeah, I mean, have you not seen Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
right.
That the entire movie is about...
Play, by the way. It started as a play. Yeah.
Okay, brains. So, I'll take your word for it. Next thing you'll be telling me The Godfather's based on something. So this is about a couple making up this kid. The entire movie is them just making up a kid that they don't have. And it worked out great for them. Is what I'm saying. That movie doesn't end in woe at all. So keep it up.
Keep it up, man.
But for real, yeah, who gives a shit? You have like a little weird inside joke. Like, people like thinking about they like thinking about living grandparents.
Right. Like, I think I'm owed that.
Yeah, because real grandparents are fucking full of worms and dead and shit.
Awful people, too. My own. Yeah. Better to make up your own and embellish.
Yeah.
Like, just tell stories about them, because sometimes real grandparents are just fucking awful. Mine are. They're dead, and I'm glad. All four of them.
For real, like, go to New York and just be like, this was his building. Just turn it over and listen. Just fucking own it.
It's right.
Be like, he sold it to mob. You know.
Here we are in Red Hook, Brooklyn, where my father was a numbers runner for the Gotti family.
Pretty much, man. Yeah, like, just do that. Claim Albert Brooks as your grandpa.
There you go.
All right.
It'll get you, yeah. There, we've solved it.
We've solved it.
Specifically. Yeah.
I feel a lot better now. Thanks.
He does. Right. It works. Give Adam this nameless person a round of applause.
Mr. Guy Fawkes mask. We have no idea who any of these people are. It's exactly like an Eyes Wide Shut party.
Exactly.
They're just all in white masks and hoods.
Who's next? Who has a challenge for us? A problem?
Yeah. Come on up. Anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone. Because we'll just talk. I'll talk about how I almost lost. Oh, someone's coming up.
Someone's
coming up. Anonymous person.
Thank you, anonymous person, who's never been in this theater before. Thank
you. You are the best.
Thanks.
Say what's up to anonymous boyfriend. He might be a friend of mine.
What's up, anonymous boyfriend?
Yeah.
So I guess this is my issue. I, similarly to the woman who went before, I am totally employed, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I have money. I can decide if I want to order out or not and not feel bad about it.
Is that what having money looks like?
Yeah,
you just
decide.
You're
literally bragging in front of the hobo behind
you. I want pizza or do I want I want Thai? I'm like, what's that?
I have options, basically, and it's nice.
Cool.
She has the $5 for the taco box meal.
It's nice. So you know what, now that I'm talking about it, it sounds just like the other person.
Yeah.
You know, cause like I have friends my age who like same degrees and things like that, making a lot of money, but it's more of like, I wish that I felt more compelled to want more money. So I apply to jobs and like, you know, in departments that like I could get this job.
You could fuck up your liver. That'll make you want real money real fast. Yeah.
I've thought a lot of people do. They hurt themselves for money, and I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, you know? need health care. You'll want a lot.
So your issue is your problem is you think that you should take another job because the salary might be higher.
Yeah, it's more of like you are educated and a millennial. You should like the things you should be striving for is like more money because you have the education for it,
right?
And you owe it to the world to like do more with your job. My job is pretty easy right now.
She's pretty much asking us to be the anti-Buddha. Yeah. Be like, fuck what's making you happy right now.
Go cash in.
Yeah,
cash the fuck in. I have an opinion on that, but why don't you go ahead and offer yours first?
I mean, I'll be honest. I, for a long time in life, I was I wouldn't say a screw-up financially because I always lived basically like someone who kills off the land to survive. Just I didn't ever incur much expense-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I don't know. It comes with time. Eventually, you find something that will pay that you don't hate, I feel. If you quest at all, just with enough time, in terms of like right now, getting it, I don't know, this might be the start of your journey. Like, I was in radio for 5 years, that didn't pay shit. And eventually, I just got more into my locksmithing, and it pays decently enough, unless we make my own hours. And now I'm just a dipshit locksmith, fucking the shit out of Casey Sampson's wife.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
She does too.
She sounds lovely.
She is.
It sounds like she's really grateful for what she has.
And for what I do. But yeah, I simply feel be thankful right now that you're not in some sort of crushing debt. And if the money is an issue, then do look around because money's nice. At the very least, to quote the great philosopher Paul Stanley of Kiss, money's great for making sure you don't have to worry about money. Like, that's kind of how I view it. I just let it pile up like I'm some medieval dragon. I don't judge that shit. But.
I agree somewhat. I don't think that you should make a lateral move, as they say in the HR business world, just for money. Thank you. One person's clapping.
Clap of a poor improviser.
I know some people in my life, some very close to, who've talked about the making career moves either in the industry they were or they're in or making a lateral move for money, and it never ends up well. It never ends up well because you find yourself, I mean, let's think about it. You're selling your time for and your mental well-being for a set amount every 2 weeks, right? And do you really want to Casey Sampson's wife said, "More money, more problems." Right? With more money becomes more greater responsibility.
I believe that was the philosopher Christopher Wallace.
That's right. Thank you very much. That's what Biggie says. I think that if you take that move, that you're going to be expected to do more. You're going to be expected to manage more. I don't know what your job constitutes, but usually with a higher salary comes higher responsibility, which means you're going to have less time to, A, pursue the things that you want to pursue. If you have some sort of like outside hustle or side gig that you're really into, it's going to eat into that time. And not just, even if it doesn't eat into the time, it's going to do something to your head. It's going to trap you mentally because you'll be like, you want to feel worthy of the paycheck, and you'll start, putting aside other things, other goals to make sure that you are worthy of the paycheck. I think some people do. I know I have.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it makes sense.
I run an improv comedy theater. I don't think I've ever, and I used to work in advertising. I don't think I've ever made a fucking move for money. But I certainly, here's another antidote. When I taught at the DC Improv, like back when I first started teaching, like 2003, 2004, 2005, we would get a lot of lawyers, like tons of lawyers. Like one time we had a 16-person class, 15 of them were lawyers. And most of them were at firms, large white shoe law firms, on K Street. And they
Wait,
were
white
two,
shoe.
Yeah, it's a white shoe law firm. So it's like an old school law firm. You know.
Yeah.
I just thought Boca Raton.
I'm sorry.
I just thought Boca Raton.
But yeah, it's white shoe and plaid shirts, Bermuda shorts.
White shoe and it wasn't racist.
That's right. That's right.
White skier shoe.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, to a person, the reason I would ask them why they end up in my improv class, and they go, "I'm fucking miserable. I have to bill at 6-minute increments. I'm responsible for billing and responsible for being billable at those increments as well. And the reason I'm taking this improv class is I'm just going to get out of my head and stop fucking and have some fun for 2 hours, because after I leave this class, I have to go and be even more billable after this. So, and again, the people who very capable, very, you know, smart, very intelligent, work their asses off to A, get into law school. Law school is hard work. Get out of law school, make partner, or make, you know, or work their way up in the firm, to find out after about, you know, 20 years of doing this, they're fucking miserable. And all, and they have those golden handcuffs on and they don't know what to do. I'm not the person to ask, but I'm never making choices for money ever again, ever.
That's awesome.
First of all, they know what to do. Second of all, is there anything that you're interested in that you could dabble in that could potentially lead to something, like, on the side of your current?
Yeah, sure. The one side job that I really wanted to take up was, like, walking dogs.
Okay. Cool.
That's pretty.
I'm prepared to hear a lot of that.
It was so incredible that they're pouring their water bottle into the... Thank you.
Can we have enough? Are there more sounds we can make?
Oh, sorry. I didn't tell you. I hired a Foley.
Oh, good. But thank you for being our Foley artist.
No, but there are definitely different, like, side hustles that could legit, like, make money on the side that I would, like, enjoy and would be fulfilling, everything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Biggie had a song about that, too, the 10 Crack Commandments. No, go on.
Thank you. Yeah, it's more of just, like, wanting to play the game of, like, making lateral moves in your company already.
Are you currently, like, 9 to 5, like, your entire day is spoken
for?
Yeah. Okay. I'll say one thing. Leaving that world, which I first did again for radio, and just understanding, because I feel if you're 9 to 5, you don't comprehend that there's a world outside of that. It just, because so many people are 9 to 5, it seems the entirety of civilization stops and starts in those hours. And once you kind of get around that and you're working, like, nights and weekends and...
Yeah. I mean, well, so, like, I worked in advertising, and that's a 24-hour-a-day job. Like, you are at the whims of a client. You have to do this. And, you know, one of the things that I couldn't help but notice was... And I loved advertising. I fucking loved it. I loved being creative. I loved working with creative people. I loved doing all that. But people who were just coming up, like, in the agency... Like, they couldn't understand, like, and, you know, some of them were young people and some of them were millennials, but they couldn't understand, like, wait, it's 6 o'clock, I gotta go. We can't. The work isn't done, right? Which means if you're gonna make that kind of choice, you better fucking love what you're gonna do because you're gonna spend a lot of time doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Having a 9-to-5 job, especially in this town, is a luxury because a lot of people don't have that. They don't have those kind of hours.
I want to add, first of all, he's selling himself short. This man over here, Sean Westfall, came up with Sonic the Hedgehog. Single-handedly put Sega back in the console wars for two, three generations. But he's being humble. Second of all, there's an important thing that takes place when you are no longer 9-to-5, when that entire swath of your day is not claimed, where you a little more can associate, like, I'm working X hours and these hours will bring in this pay. You feel a little more free. I don't know how else to put it other than knowing that I had to be somewhere for X amount of time, not because X amount of work was done, but for X amount of time.
Right.
That's soul crushing. And once you can start to get into any sort of field that's like, hey, when the work is done, it's done.
Yeah.
Especially when that work
And then you have the luxury to pursue dog walking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, dog walking would be great because you could just be like, I'm working X hours. I get Y dollars for walking Z dogs. This equation has an answer. Keep tracking at home, kids. Quadratic equation. So, yeah, just that I would wholeheartedly recommend dog walking because suddenly, I'm not bullshit. You'll just suddenly be like, hey, this is 11 a.m., I would have been miserable at a desk playing Minesweeper. Did the kids still do that?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right. So I would have been playing Minesweeper on my Windows 3.1 personal computer, a Tandy more than likely. And instead, you're enjoying a beautiful day. Sure, you have to take a hot mitt of poop once in a while. But you know what? Like, it's worth it. It's worth it. You're the boss of your time.
Yeah.
Have we solved your problem?
Yeah.
Basically. Walk those damn dogs. Those damn dogs for your rich friends.
Thank you.
Sure.
Give our guests a round of applause. Yeah. Thank you.
She's amazing.
This hour has gone by fast. We only have like 20 minutes left for questions. So another question. Come on up, sir.
Another question. Yeah. Take any mic you want.
Thank you, gentlemen. This seems to be a career-focused
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Question session. So I'm gonna give you some career. I would love John's opinion on this, but this is more for Sean and also first time, long time. So I work in the creative industry as well. I work in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm getting older, long in the tooth, I'm starting to get a little bit more responsibility.
Yep.
Getting knuckleheads that are working underneath me.
Right.
So it's really hard for me to...
Sorry. I'm laughing at knucklehead like you're fucking MC.
Well, they're knuckleheads.
Or Charles Barkley. Yeah. These knuckleheads, they don't rebound. I don't understand what's
happening. You know what's funny, though?
These knuckleheads don't know what they're doing.
They're right.
Charles Barkley, yeah.
These knuckleheads don't rebound. They don't whatever the equivalent of rebounding is in advertising, they don't rebound.
Right, right.
They don't post up. They don't do any of that
stuff. They don't know how to run the high post pick and roll.
So the last 2 to 3 years, I've had to give peer reviews and subordinate reviews, supervisee reviews. How the hell do you do that without feeling like a fucking narc? I literally lose sleep over the fact that I said that so-and-so couldn't rebound and so-and-so couldn't post up, and I feel terrible. But I don't feel terrible because they're on my team and they need to step it up. But how do you balance that?
I don't think there is a good answer to that. And I think that what you're discovering is that the higher up you get, that the more money you get, that the more responsibility you get. And like, you know, like for instance, I mean, someone very close to me has a very high pressure job. She works her ass off. She makes damn good money, but with that comes
is that Casey Sampson's wife?
Casey Sampson's wife. That's right. Very good friend of mine.
She's been so happy the past couple of years.
She's been saying that to me as we've been grabbing coffee, and she's been griping about her job. But with that paycheck comes some horrible truths that you have to impart to people.
These aren't Casey's children.
either you this isn't the agency for you. This isn't the industry for you. You don't belong here. I think, you know, part of that can be mitigated by the fact that in some ways, if they are having challenges, you're doing them a favor, right?
Right,
you're saying,
right.
Look, you know, this is where you could have a career in this, but you need to take care of this, and this. Or you just don't have it. I've been in this industry for years. I've seen good talent. I've seen, you know, mediocrity, and you're on that scale.
Yeah, that's the hard part, right?
Yeah, it is the hard
letting
part.
letting those knuckleheads know that, look, dude, this is so-and-so agency. This is the level of work that's required.
Exactly, right.
And you, I've coached you for 6 months.
Right.
You just don't have it. Like,
right.
After 6 months, you should be able to shoot a free throw, but right. You can't do that.
Yeah, and I think you're doing them a favor. Who here has been fired? I've been fired. We've all been fired, right?
I've been fired.
Yeah, we've all been, sure. I was a journalism intern at Roll Call Newspaper. This was like 20 years ago when they were the only 25 years ago when they were like the only newspaper on Capitol Hill. And I thought that I wanted to be a journalist. I thought, oh man, see my name in print, bylines, and make my bones and become like one of these talking heads on CNN, right? I wasn't fired, but they said, my boss called me in and said, you're a pretty shitty journalist. And she was absolutely right. I was a terrible journalist. I was awful. I was downright... I didn't have the follow-through, and I didn't have the focus, and I didn't have that sort of drive, that persistence that journalists have to dig, and get the story. I was just happy. I thought the story was done when my name was on the byline.
And then you're just filling the rest with Motley Crue lyrics.
Exactly right. And she saw right through that, weirdly enough.
why is this story on Al Gore's internet have Take Me Down to the Paradise City on it? Hey, look, man, it's a great song. But I think that in many cases when you... if they're young, that's even better. Because then you could say, look, you have this skill set. You might be better suited for this industry, this other industry, or this parallel industry, or this aspect of our organization. But I think you're doing them a favor. I was asked to leave that. I wasn't asked to leave, but I was, you know, basically said, yeah, you probably shouldn't be in journalism. And it did me a whole... It did me a favor. And also, to go back to the previous questioners, you know, I would spend my nights, you know, worrying about my job, worrying about, holy shit, I'm underperforming, right? A lot of mental and emotional energy. And when I left that place, that was gone. And I could say, oh, yeah, I can get back in touch with me and find out what the hell I want to do. You probably have a different answer, right?
Well, okay, the legit answer is if you beforehand can talk to these people, I guess, and encourage them in the ways they need to be encouraged, that'd be good. I mean, I wouldn't let just shit hit the fan at the same
month
mark. Yeah,
that doesn't ever stop. Like, I always try to make them, push them, nurture them, whatever I need to do. But when that doesn't work, I got to be like, look, dude, this guy's got to go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's hard.
I will point us toward the great film Amadeus.
Thank you.
Yeah, great film.
You had in the Emperor's Court, played by Ferris Bueller's principal, the Emperor was.
That's right.
You had Amadeus, who was amazing, and then you had the piece of shit Salieri, who just
played by F. Murray Abraham.
That's right. Got the Oscar over Tom Hulce.
That's right.
Yes.
Is it Hulce?
I think. I don't know.
That's Hulse.
Hulse? Is it Hulse? Whatever.
It's Hulce in my
no,
life.
I've been saying that for 20 years. So, Hulse, Jeffrey, whatever the principal was, gives all of the music duties to not Salieri, to Mozart, because he's good, and he works at it, and he loves it, and sadly, Salieri didn't get the picture.
Right.
And just the entire time was like, I want to be a composer, and I'm not. And then he ultimately burns a cross and kills Amadeus, but...
I'm not sure what the moral of the story here is. Should I burn them?
Yes, you should burn a cross.
Yeah, okay. Burn the iconography of their religion, and then
okay.
seduce
that,
their
that
wife.
Works. Yeah.
Like I had Casey Sampson.
That works great, and thank you so much, guys. That was really good. I'm going to fire a lot of people tomorrow morning.
Good.
Yeah. I just screamed, the podcast told me.
I think we have another question over here. Is that correct,
sir?
Yep.
Thank you for doing this. This is a lot of fun. I just kind of walked in here.
What?
Whoa!
That wasn't a real voice.
Hey,
fuck!
This 40-year-old man climbed out of this older man.
It was total recall.
You guys should
real.
See this. I just
what was
the
name of that character?
Quattro.
Quattro. Quattro. Quattro.
That's right. Thank you.
I would just like to point
like
out
the
for
sea.
The record.
Yes.
I gently tried to say the same thing to the DC improv community on Facebook about 2 years ago in a passive aggressive way, and that worked out well.
Right.
You can go to the thread people at home if you want to look it up. It's got at least 250 responses.
Good Lord.
And I am called all sorts of names.
I can't get over that traction.
No. What's that?
I can't get over that traction. I could post a thread, which race is superior? And just leave it at that. I wouldn't get 250 replies.
Oh, you should have done it right after the election.
Okay.
And
that would have blown up. You're right.
Well,
he went with Indonesian.
I don't want to take down this podcast by connecting it to that Facebook post. This is so weird that this is the topic because I was late to your show.
Right.
Walking in.
It's okay.
Walking in an old.
You used a fake voice walking in.
No, I walked inside using that old man's body that is now shriveled up on the floor for those of you that can't see it at home. I found out that I have my lease is up at the end of July, which is 6 months sooner than I thought. And I need a raise from my boss.
Right.
Does he? I don't know. Who listens to this? What kind of
Nine people. Listen, okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. The entirety of Samson Realty is listening just dick in hand right now. Like, come on, keep going.
All my grandparents.
Yeah.
I was sitting on my bed, with the weight of the world, just not wanting to, move into a new place right now, and B, I have to have this conversation with my boss as far as, like, what is my ceiling here? Because I was supposed to have an evaluation.
It's a glass one, too.
It is, yeah. He's like, it goes all the way up to my belt buckle.
Now bounce your head against it.
So I have...
Dufresne.
I know. I was supposed to have an evaluation and then in January, but we had this huge case, which actually settled last night.
Right.
And, thank you. Nice, thank you. Yeah. It was all me. no. Now I was going to wait for that and until that was over. That was looking at it like mid-May.
Right.
And now it's, I have to have this conversation.
Right.
And the other piece of it, I walked into this morning and my boss, both of them, it's a man and a husband and wife. It was a man and a wife. And his wife, his child.
She has no identity.
His child bride.
His wife.
They had bought me flowers and wrote this really nice note thanking me for my hard work.
Right.
And it really took the energy out of me of wanting to ask for more money.
Right.
I was like, they're starting to play hardball.
That is a nice move on their part. Like, here's some flowers.
Right.
What? You want a raise? We just gave you fucking flowers. Yeah. What do you want?
Right. Peonies aren't free.
So I guess my issue is walking into my boss's office and starting that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And my last words that he said to me as I was walking out, he kind of said something. He's like, gotta get that money. And I was like, wait, were you talking to me? He goes, yeah, no, I'm just, we got money.
No, definitely not you.
We got money. We just don't have it yet. I gotta go get it. And I was like, all right, see ya.
So what, I have an opinion as I always do, but you want to?
Oh my good Lord, he's just throwing it in your face, isn't he?
No, I think the way I describe it, you know, which is very self-centered, it sounds like everything is about me.
Uh-huh.
No, I think it's just the way it kind of played out today.
But what if you walk in tomorrow and he continues with that and he's like, here's my money, and holds up a bucket and then presents the Monopoly thimble. He's like, here's yours. And then cackles for 8 minutes.
He's like, pull up that stack of money and have a seat. This is brand new, sir. I like it.
Is your chair uneven?
Right. Here's a couple of hundreds here.
I mean, I think this is a conversation. These are always difficult conversations, but I think that this is something that I was often told, and I wouldn't do it, but it's awful. It's actually sage advice. Are you documenting everything? Are you documenting every single time you've worked over? Are you documenting the number of projects that have resulted? Is there like a spreadsheet somewhere that says
all my hours are billed?
Okay. More importantly, instead of like, you know, are those hours, are some of those like overtime?
Oh yeah. And I worked 9 hours on a holiday Monday.
And let me ask you, are there people in the office who are sort of in the same position? Are they making the same kind of sacrifices that you are?
And here's the thing though, I love working for my bosses. I love working where I'm at. I love my job. I
think that's what you start off with. And I don't think the conversation has to happen this week. I think you start off saying, you know what? I love this place. I love the dynamic. I love the culture. I love working here. I love my job.
And I'm also a new gun owner. So.
That's
So I'm like really happy about a lot of things right now. I hope none of that changes.
Just got certified on a Ruger 222. Okay, I can take you out 100 yards.
Yeah, I think you sort of walk out. You walk in with that with armed. Metaphorically, with this information, and say, love working here, but I mean, here are the things that I've done for you. Here's what I've done. Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a bit more money. I think employers sort of expect to have this conversation when they have, you know, an employer of some you know who is doing well and is working a lot. Yeah.
That's why your boss has a gun.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Right.
Yes. You just got certified. Here's a .44 Magnum.
It hangs over.
That's right.
Right over his head on the back wall.
Sort of Damocles.
Right. He's just field stripping an AK when you walk in. Like, what's up?
What can I do for?
I was just cleaning Charlene. Let's see.
Here's your raise.
Right. Here's your raise. You filled it.
Yeah, I think that you actually walk in saying the things that you just said, and the, you know, but. I wouldn't mind having more money. I think I'm worth it.
Yeah. When did you last get a raise?
You know what? I've only been there over a year, and I think I've had three already.
Nice.
You greedy.
What the fuck is wrong?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't make. In fact, I do not make much still. Right. I don't even know. I'm embarrassed to say.
We don't have to say it.
No, I won't.
I mean, it's.
I won't.
I make $425,000 a year.
Not much at all. That's not much at all.
Oh, I beg to differ.
But I have three Mercedes Benz.
I would say you made a promise to your dead grandparents.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You would attain the level that your grandfather attained to as he came to this.
Yeah.
Which is a fourth degree black belt.
Three.
So.
You can't get that.
That's right.
Three raises fucks everything. Had you said, like, I hadn't had one. Like, I used to get a yearly. When I did 9
well,
to 5, I would get, like, a yearly.
I guess I should say, I started off at an hourly rate. They bumped it up after 2 weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then they bumped it up again at some point.
Have you gone from hourly to salary?
Yeah.
That's
so
bad.
Well, here's the thing, too, man.
And I have a condo and a company car.
What, really? I bet if you sussed out your hours, you would see that you're probably making less per hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Than you were when you were on salary. Well, or then when you were hourly.
So save those pennies to get that gun.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that the,
and these are also lawyers. And,
yeah.
Even the nicest.
Yeah.
They I'm a lawyer.
I've watched The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah. That's right.
I know what's up.
So, I think
I've had a DUI. I know you were.
They probably not even meaning to have lowballed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
And even though there's been three raises, fuck, so you're still not where
you
would be.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's probably
otherwise
the case.
You're on your ass, dude. You don't really have options. Otherwise.
Well, it's
yeah. They've already done the work for you. They've told you how much they appreciate you.
Yeah.
How good you're doing. And
what about a fake job offer?
A fake what?
A fake job offer.
Oh,
no. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm not.
Fake grandfather, yes.
Yeah, a fake grandfather.
But a fake job offer, no.
A fake job offer from my fake grandfather.
So well, I mean, here's what you could do. I mean, there's websites, Glass Ceiling or Glass Door.
Yeah.
You can go see if you're making approximately.
I like Glass Toilet.
Glass Toilet is another one where you can go see what your approximately.
Glass Belt Buckle.
Yeah, exactly. we can see what people in your geographic area and in your industry and your years of experience are making. So you could go like you could index your current salary to that and say, look, I'm kind of underpaid here, especially for this geographical area. What bumping me up?
And if you want to learn some locksmithing shit, I can teach you.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Then you can be my competition. Run me out.
Right. Well, I thank you guys.
That's what? He's. Oh, Quato is back.
Put the flesh suit back on.
Quato is back. It looks like we are at an hour. We can do a speed round if there are more questions.
Oh, I've got.
What's that?
Speed.
Oh, yeah. Are you making a pun?
Yeah, we're doing lines, right?
No, we're not doing a pun. We can do a speed round of questions if you guys want to, or we can just call this other thing done.
Yeah, we can all just get down to the Capital One Arena or whatever it's called, the sure. U.S. Sprint Theater, whatever it is this week, and we can watch the Caps.
The Caps have an improv show. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Anyone going once, going twice, and we'll fuck ourselves.
Very good.
Sean, you wanted to plug something real
Yes,
fast.
I do. So we occasionally here at the Unified Scene Theater have art events.
Like tonight.
Exactly. Like performance art events, but also plastic art events. So this Sunday, we have an art showing. It's actually the third time we've had art in our walls. Next time you see this theater, it's going to have art all over the walls. The two artists who are providing that art, Jai Mitchell and Matt Nelson, their exhibit is called Gimme Two. There's going to be art all over these walls. Their opening is this Sunday evening. There's going to be food, drink, music, an accordion player, and some performance art mimes, which
the
are going to be awesome.
Food is all erotic cakes.
Yeah, that's right. It's basically Miss Havisham's cake from Great Expectations. But that's happening.
I saw that movie.
That's right. That's when it's based on a movie. It's Sunday, April 28th, again this Sunday, here at the Unified Scene Theater, ADT Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 6 to 9 p.m. I have to get that plug in there.
69.
Cool.
Everyone, thank you for coming out. Give yourselves a hand.
Thank you again, everyone.
And if you want to listen to this, I'll be uploading it to the Papa's Basement podcast channel. That's on YouTube. That's on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all that. And we'll have it on YouTube as soon as Mystery Woman back there gets the video edited up for us. Look at her smirking. Yeah, I just threw something burdensome on you. He'll do it. So there. That's it. That's all. More cool. Applause. Cool. More applause.
Cool. So
the Caps are up 2-1. You've
been listening to What the Fuck Is Wrong With You. I'm Sean Westfall.
I'm John Papagiorgio, and I fucked the shit out of Casey Sampson's wife!